Welcome to Next on the Tee with Chris Mascaro, where tour players, legends, and the top instructors in the game share their stories, insights, and playing lessons. Join Chris every week as he talks with the greats of the game.
You are the smartest guy I've spoken to on radio or television in my career.
And Chris, again, you're knocking out of the park. You're like 8 under par in this interview.
By having any research, I'm hiring your tail to be the research man. You're the best.
You're a fantastic host and tremendously respected in the golfing community.
Yeah, Chris, you do an amazing job, and your listeners are super lucky to have you, and it's always my pleasure.
Chris Mascaro is the king of the golf podcast. Don't miss him on Tuesdays.
Now, here's your host, Chris Mascaro.
Good evening, folks, and thank you for joining me this week on Next on the Tee. I'm your host, Chris Mascaro. I hope you're having a fantastic week. I am so excited about this week's show. The guest list is off the chain great. I've got four guys that are going to really knock your socks off. In part one of this week's show, I'm going to be joined by a guy who is a living legend in our game, and that's Bob Ford. Bob is so great that he was simultaneously the head PGA professional at both Oakmont Country Club and Seminole Golf Club, two of the most prestigious and historical courses in the world. He is also in just about every Hall of Fame possible, particularly around Western Pennsylvania. He's won about every amateur tournament there is to win in the region as well. It is a huge thrill to have him as part of the show, and I can't wait to get started with him. He'll join me here in just a few minutes. He'll be followed by Greg Sabella. Greg's going to be coming back to the show. He is the VP of marketing for Unicore. They make launch monitors and simulators and related software. They've got a new product out that we all wish we could have set up in our basements or our dens. Wait till you hear about this thing. Then in part two of the show, I'm going to be leading it off with America's caddy, Michael Collins. Michael was so much fun last year when he joined me. I laughed so hard that my abs hurt. That segment was one of the most listened to on this show for 2023. So it's going to be a really fun segment. Anytime Michael's a part of the show, we have a great time and you're going to laugh a lot. So looking forward to having him back as part of the show. And then we'll round things out with one of the top instructors in our game and one of the most upbeat and wonderful people anywhere on the planet, Brian Jacobs. It's going to be his 12th visit with me here on the show. So you know how much I think about Brian. He is just a great guy and a fantastic instructor. Looking forward to having him back as part of the show as well. So some great things on tap for you this week here on Next on the Tee. And as always, thank you all so much for tuning in and taking the journey with me this week. Okay, before we get started, though, I want to remind you about our friends over at Kickpoint. Our resident director of instruction, Tom Patry, and I have been working with a company called Kickpoint. And they have done some magical things with our logos and created some polo shirts with some wonderful designs where they take our logos and turn them into designs on a polo shirt. They're absolutely outstanding. Kickpoint Golf is a private label custom golf apparel company making bespoke polo shirts, quarter zips, and hoodies for those selected clubs looking to take their branded game to a whole new level. If you want to check out their apparel, and again, it's going to knock your socks off, send an email to info@kickpointgolf.com. They'll get right back to you. There's no middleman. They're going to go right to the guys that do this work. You're going to check it out, and you are really going to love what they do. I'm going to start showing the polo shirts that they designed for me on my Instagram, @CTMascaro. Check them out there so you can get a sample of what they look like. These guys know where it's at. Now let's talk about golf getaways and buddy's trip locations. When you're thinking about that, think about our friends over at the Macklemore, which is a wonderful resort located just south of Chattanooga, Tennessee, high atop Lookout Mountain. It is a casual two-hour drive from Atlanta, Nashville, and Birmingham. The existing Highlands course is now ranked in the top 100 courses you can play in the U.S. by Golf Digest. The 18th hole is ranked in the top 10 finishing holes in the world. A second course, The Keep, is under construction and will open summer of 2024. The Keep is a Bill Bergen, Reese Jones design and features a mile and a half of dramatic cliff edge, with every inch of that edge filled up with a golf hole. A world-class hotel, Cloudland Lookout Mountain Curio Collection by Hilton, will open spring of 2024. Both have incredible views into historic Macklemore Cove, 1,200 feet below. You got to see it to believe it, folks. Stay, dine, and play golf above the clouds at Macklemore. Go online to macklemore.com to book your stay and play package. Now let's talk about the new P790 irons from TaylorMade. From the very beginning, P790 irons have been rooted in clean aesthetics and thoughtful design. However, their true beauty is found beneath the surface. With AI-optimized weighting and speed foam air on the inside, every iron is uniquely designed to perform exactly how you need it to. As striking as they are on the outside, their true beauty lies within. Learn more about the new P790 irons from TaylorMade by checking out their website at TaylorMadeGolf.com. Okay, now back, and it's a huge honor for me to say this for the fifth time with me here on Next on the Tee is the greatest PGA professional ever, in my opinion, and a guy who's a living legend in our game, and that's Bob Ford. Bob has been a great player and instructor for over five decades. He grew up in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, played his college golf at the University of Tampa from 1971 to 1975. He was inducted into their Sports Hall of Fame in 2006. He was also inducted into the Allegheny-Kiske Valley Sports Hall of Fame in 1996, the Western Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame in 1998, and the PGA Professional Hall of Fame in 2005. Bob was the head professional at both Oakmont Country Club and Seminole Golf Club, two of the top courses in the world. As a player, he won the Pennsylvania Open three times. He played in three U.S. Opens and 10 PGA Championships. In 2017, he won the Bob Jones Award, which is presented annually to the individual who demonstrates the spirit, professional character, and respect for the game exhibited by Bobby Jones. And I couldn't be more honored. He is back with me again this week here on Next on the Tee. Hey, Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Hey, Chris, my pleasure. Hope you're doing well.
I am fantastic, thank you. Bob, we're on the heels of another great Masters tournament. Want to get your thoughts. What do you think about what you saw this year?
Well, Chris, you know, there's nothing like Augusta National and the Masters tournament. It's coming a spring for all of us in the Northeast. I'm in Florida at the moment, but after the Masters, you know, the spring golf starts up there. And, you know, when the Masters comes around, everybody says, you know, who are you picking? And I not only picked Scotty, I said, it's not a matter of who's going to win. It's a matter of how many Scotty's going to win by. And that's how strongly I felt about Scotty. So he was my pick from the get-go. Sentimentally, I'd pick Rory, but, you know, we're 0 for 11 years now, I think, and 10 years maybe. But, you know, I'd love to see him get that monkey off his back. And I think that this kid, Oberg, is going to be the next Rory McIlroy. I think he's going to win a bunch of majors coming up quick. And we'll see how he does after that. I know he's going to win. I'm going to my buddy that knows how to make bets, and I'm going to bet he wins one of the next three majors.
Wow, so you think he wins right away?
Oh, yeah, for sure. That kid, he's a movie star.
Yeah, I tell you what, looking into his eyes and the way that he approached the back nine yesterday, just like it was nothing. Even when he doubled 11, it didn't feel like he was shaken by that, rattled by that at all. He was just going about his business. Someone who can look at it that way without going into the tank after just double bogeying and maybe for all intents and purposes losing out on the opportunity to win this year, but you never know. He could have gotten on an even stronger run and caught Scotty. I just thought it was impressive to see his demeanor.
He's impressive. Just watch him walk, watch him swing, watch him putt. I mean, he's flawless. He has no weaknesses. And, you know, Scotty would have had to really, you know, hit one in the water on 15 or, you know, stuff like that, like Ballesteros did in 86. And but he didn't. He didn't. He never flinched. He's a great champion and he's a great guy, too.
What about our local Pittsburgh and Central Catholic boy, Neil Shipley, low amateur this year? Very impressive showing from him.
Oh, my God. Wasn't that incredible? I was so thrilled for him. He's such a nice young guy. And to play with Tiger Woods on Sunday, you can't make it up. I mean, people pay $500,000 to play with Tiger Woods at Augusta. Yeah, that was something else. He's really a neat kid, and he's got a bright future. He's going to play in the U.S. Open. I'll get to tee him off on number one. And just couldn't be happier for him.
Yeah, me too. He grew up idolizing Tiger, got paired with him in the final round of a Masters. I imagine he must have felt like you did the first time that you got to go out there and play with Mr. Palmer. Do you remember the feeling that you had the first time you got to go out on the course and play with Mr. Palmer?
Well, you know, I never played in a tournament with him. I played practice rounds in majors with him. He was nice enough to invite me to, you know, join his group a couple times. And I, you know, I was nervous. I mean, I played the practice round with he and Miller Barber and Ben Crenshaw and Jay Siegel. We were a five ball, and which isn't allowed in the U.S. Open, but we were playing with Arnold. So we got away with it. That was at Oakmont in 83. And, you know, I had the butterflies. He's such a wonderful guy, though. And, you know, prior to that, we had played in 78 before the PGA at Oakmont. And so I played with him, and I didn't play in that championship. I was just a 22 or 3-year-old kid at the time and wasn't eligible. But he just makes you feel, he makes everybody he talks to feel like he's your best friend. And we miss him dearly. And but he was just incredibly kind to me.
Last year, during the height of Masters Week, you were presented the William D. Richardson Award, which recognizes the individual who has consistently made an outstanding contribution to golf. Talk about the great folks who presented that award to you, the special place that it was done, and what that award means to you about all the great things that you have done over the course of your career.
It was given by the Golf Writers Association of America, and it was down in Augusta Wednesday night. Mind-boggling to be chosen for that. You know, my cup runneth over in regards of, you know, that kind of thing. I'm incredibly grateful for it and honored that I had the opportunity to, you know, to be at Oakmont and Seminole. I mean, that's what made me, you know, recognizable. And it's just an extraordinary honor and just way over my head. That's for sure.
Bob, television ratings are down about 20% so far this year, including at the Masters. People are attributing it to a couple of things. One, fans are growing tired of the battle between the PGA Tour and LIV and what's going on with that situation. Plus, the casual fan that Tiger brought into the game, well, they're not watching anymore because he plays so infrequently. So my question, I guess, is should all of this light a fire under Jay Monahan and the PGA Tour Council to get the game reunited, the best players back under one umbrella, before more fan apathy sets in?
Well, you're exactly right that Tiger really pushed the needle. And if Tiger was playing, I couldn't wait to watch and watched every time he played. And I feel the same way everybody else does right now. You know, we're frustrated. We're a little down on the issue at hand. I don't see an end to it. Nobody knows, you know, what's going to happen. And until it does, I think the apathy will continue. But once it does happen and we get an end to it and, you know, whatever happens, and I have no clue what's going to happen, but I think everybody will come back.
Our game is going through a boom from a participation standpoint. I mean, everybody I talk to, tee sheets are full everywhere. I'm a little worried, Bob, about sort of the middle class folks right now getting priced out of the game because demand is so high. And we all understand the supply of law and demand. When demand is up, prices are up. And I'm hearing about golf courses that are in poor condition going for $150 a round. My buddies in Orlando are telling me courses that they used to play and pay $35 for are now $80 or $90 to play at. Do we need to be careful? I'd hate to see the boom we're having right now end up like the housing market in 2008 and 2009 and the thing bursting, and now all of a sudden we're back to where we used to be.
Well, I don't think so, Chris. You know, I mean, it's like going to the grocery store. I mean, everything costs more now, you know, since COVID. And I think everybody's thirst for the game and able to get out there. They're going to find a way to pay it, I think. I don't think it's really going to change much, and I don't think we're ever going to go backwards.
Bob, I don't know if you've seen, but since the last time we spoke, the Pittsburgh Tribune Review has picked up the show. The Pittsburgh Brewing Company and Iron City Beer are now a sponsor. Both are a dream come true for me. With Pittsburgh being my hometown, my roots mean a great deal to me. And I know they mean a great deal to you as well. Talk about the pride you have in being a Yinzer.
Well, there's no place like Pittsburgh. There's no hometown like Pittsburgh. You know, you go all across the nation. There's Pittsburgh bars. There's, you know, Pittsburgh Steeler plates everywhere, or Pirates or Penguins. You know, they all just do us so proud. And I'm incredibly proud to have been born in Pittsburgh. I was raised in Philly, as you suggested, but came back when I was 17 and never left. And it's home. Everybody says, you know, where's home for you? Is it Florida or Pennsylvania? It's Pittsburgh. And it's an incredible feeling to be from Pittsburgh. It's a great, great honor and just a great, great hometown.
You mentioned a little bit ago that you'll be announcing Shipley at the U.S. Open. You've been on the mic there for many years. I have to imagine you're going to stick around at least until 25 at Oakmont. What are your plans being the starter at the U.S. Open?
Well, for this year in Pinehurst, it's probably going to be the first time I'm going to sweat through my jacket. It's going to be hot down there. I haven't really caught a really hot, week at any of the past Opens, but I think we're in for one this time. And then at Oakmont, it's going to be an unreal thing for me to do it at Oakmont. I can't wait. It's a real honor for me to be the starter. I know it doesn't sound like much, but whether you're a walking scorer or a standard bearer or caddy or starter or official for that matter, anything you do inside the ropes at a U.S. Open is really special. And I can't wait for Oakmont. You know, our golf course just got redone by Gil Hance this past year. It was, painful not to be able to play all 18 holes all at once. We did play June, July, and August. We played all 18. But this fall, the back nine was shut down, as the spring was the front nine was shut down. But no pain, no gain. It is magnificent. I'm actually on my way home Friday for opening day on Saturday. I can't stand it. I'm not coming back to Pittsburgh until June for the summer, but I'm coming up this weekend. I just can't wait to play that back nine. I walked it 100 times, but Gil did an incredible job, and I can't wait for the players to play the Open there. It's just going to be incredible.
David Moore, who is the curator of collections at Oakmont, joined me on the show last fall. Really enjoyed getting to spend some time with David. He's been there since June of 2020. Did you get to know David before you left Oakmont?
Yeah, I'm on the committee with him, his history committee with David. Now, he's terrific, terrific guy. He's got great passion for it. He's already done some wonderful things for us, and he's terrific.
Bob, as we've talked in the past, when you were teaching, you preferred to work with high handicappers over tour pros because you loved to watch the progression that the higher handicappers would make. Talk about that.
You know, it's just easier to help them. It's hard to help a scratch player or, a very low handicap player. And, teaching's hard. I mean, it's not easy. I mean, we certainly know our craft, but as a player, I just took a lesson on Sunday and on Saturday, excuse me. And I got to play on Sunday. I couldn't wait to try it on the golf course, and I couldn't do it at all, but I was great, on the range. So I just have a great understanding of how hard it is to change, how hard it is to get it on the golf course, and just in a friendly round, let alone a tournament round. So I know what everybody goes through, but the higher handicappers, they're just more fun because they're easier to teach. They're easier to make better, actually.
When you were hired as the assistant pro at Oakmont back in 1975, you actually lived on the third floor of the clubhouse for a while, kind of like an Oakmont version of the Crow's Nest. What was it like for you to live up there? And I've got to imagine at that time, there was a whole bunch of cool stuff being stored there.
Well, there was, Chris. Yeah, no, it was a time of my life. The first year I was up there with just me and the tennis pro. We're the only two guys up there. And we had a ball. We'd go down the kitchen at night, steal some ice cream. And, it was a ball. And there was a lot of history in the attic back there that nobody ever even thought of looking at. And one of our guys, I ended up staying up there for 5 years, all five of my assistant years. And Jack Druga was an assistant with us. He was one of my best pals. And he found the picture of Bobby Jones putting out on nine that now sits behind our bar in the Champions Grill. So there was a lot of cool stuff up there. The caddy master asked me my first year, what room are you in? I said, well, Joe, I'm in the room that looks over the ninth green. That's pretty, pretty nice room. He said, oh yeah, that was Sophie's room. I said, yeah, well, who was Sophie? Well, she worked in the laundry. And he said, she hung herself from those sprinkler bars up there. I'm like, wow, that's nice. So I didn't sleep that night.
I bet not.
Next, Now, next day I come down, he said, you look between the mattresses. I said, no. He said, well, that's where Sophie kept her money. So, of course, I have to go up and look under the mattresses. And there's nothing there. And I came back. He's laughing his ass off. He's up. Everything was a lie. And he was just pulling my chain. But, no, it was great. It was a great spot to, you know, to go to. I mean, I practiced every night till dark. I get up in the morning, practice before anybody got there. And it was just, incredible living on campus.
Being the head professional at both of those places and Seminole being the other, I have to imagine you got a ton of great stories. What are some of your favorite stories to tell your friends and people that you entertain about the years at Oakmont and now down at Seminole?
Well, I'd have to give that some thought. There's so many stories at Oakmont, and both places, quite frankly, everybody in golf goes through those places at some point or another during the year. So, every day at both places was like, who's coming today? And, who are we going to get to meet? We've met just so many extraordinary people. But, going down to Seminole, I was nervous. I'd worked at Oakmont for 20 years. I was comfortable with who I was and what I did for a living. And I knew I'd be successful, but I was nervous. And, so I sat on the first tee at Seminole for the first month or two and just to meet everybody that came there to play. And, after a while, I got comfortable because all anybody wanted to talk about was golf. And that's easy for me. So, I got over that pretty quick. I played with about 108 different members that year at Seminole and got to know everybody as a golfer. And, regardless of what they did, and obviously there were CEOs and very high-end people down there at Seminole, and they're just golfers, and as the people are at Oakmont, and they're not in their element, they're out of their element, and they're probably uncomfortable doing that, some of them that don't play a lot of golf. So my job was to make everybody comfortable and welcome and happy. It's a happy place, that's their happy place, those clubs. So it was quite an honor to be the host all those years.
Did you get somebody, whether a celebrity, athlete, whoever it might have been, that came to either one of those places that was really good, that really surprised you at how good they were?
As a player?
Yeah.
Gosh, there were a lot of them. Actually played a fair amount with Rick Roden. He was a phenomenal player at Oakmont. He came there a lot, when he pitched for the Pirates. And all three of those guys from Georgia, those pitchers, that just loved to play golf and were really good. Tom Glavine and, the other two.
Maddox and Smoltz, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So they were good. Smoltz could really play. He actually qualified for the Senior Open that I did, and we got paired together the first two rounds, which we were both terrible, but that was out in Colorado Springs at the Broadmoor back, 17 or 18. And but he could really play. So yeah, that's about it.
Bob, we're about 30 games into the Major League Baseball season, speaking of baseball, and the Pirates are right around 500. A lot of the young talent looks like it has some promise, and I got to believe Paul Skeens is going to be along before too long. What are your thoughts about what you've seen from them so far?
Smoke and mirrors, same old story. By the All-Star game, they'll start their downhill slide, and, I'm real down on the owners there. I just, if we have some great players, they're going to sell them. That's kind of been their MO, and it's depressing because we have the best baseball yard in the country, and we can't field a team that can win it all. It's just depressing.
What about all the changes across the street with the Steelers? It feels like they finally have a sense of urgency. What are your thoughts about this upcoming season for them?
Well, that would be a first for the last 10 years or so. No, I'm very excited about the Steelers. I think some of the moves they've made have been fabulous. Our quarterback situation, we got two all-star quarterbacks, I think. And I feel bad for Pickett, but hopefully he'll find some good playing time over there in Philadelphia. And he's a terrific young guy, but you know, just didn't get it done. I mean, even the games we won, the defense won them for. So, but no, I'm really excited about the Steelers. And there's no franchise like the Pittsburgh Steelers. So we're so proud of them. And even as they have been losing a little bit more than we care for. But hopefully this year they'll do it.
So, Bob, what's up next for you?
Well, Chris, I have been out for 9 months. I have had an elbow tear in my tendons. It's called golfer's elbow, which is weird because tennis elbow is on top of your arm and golfer's is on the bottom, a little bit like Tommy John. I tried to heal it without playing for 4 months and doing, you know, the PRP and everything you can, you know, throw at it. Didn't work. And then I had surgery in November, and I just started playing about 2 weeks ago. So 9 months no golf for me is not a pretty sight. It was a tough, tough time in my life. And thank goodness I have a great wife who, we didn't really struggle too much. I've got plenty to do. And it's amazing. You know, you think when you retire that, you know, you're going to have these days where, man, you've got nothing but time, but I don't have much time. And, I've stayed busy and, you know, I could chip and putt. So I did some of that and walked around with a bunch of groups so I could keep, you know, my walking up to speed. And now I'm playing. I couldn't be more excited.
Well, that's fantastic. Bob, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your busy schedule to come back and be a part of the show. It's always a huge thrill to be in your presence. I thank you so very much. You mean a great deal to me.
Well, you're awful good, Chris. I appreciate it. And you're nice to keep me in the loop in my retirement. And I look forward to next time.
So do I. Take care, my friend. All the best to you and your family. I look forward to catching up with you again soon.
You too, pal.
Thank you, Bob. That is the great Bob Ford. They don't come bigger, better, or greater than that man. He has taught so many people, helped a ton of PGA professionals. Teaching tree is tall and wide. You can see why I say he's a living legend. We need more people like him, not just in our game, but in our world. I have a huge amount of respect for Bob Ford. I am so appreciative of his help, of his time coming as being a part of the show as often as he has. I cannot wait till next time that I get to spend a little more time with Bob Ford. Hopefully that happens a little bit later on this summer after he is the starter again this year at Pinehurst. And then maybe we'll find out if any of the stuff with the Pirates actually works out. Does the team actually make some progression this year? What about the Steelers and all of the free agent signings and the draft and the things that they are putting together? Do we finally get a playoff win? I hope to be able to celebrate all those things with Bob when he joins me, like I say, hopefully a little bit later on this year. Coming up next is going to be Greg Sabella. Greg is the VP of Marketing for Unicore, and they make outstanding launch monitor simulators and related software. Before I bring Greg into the show, I was talking with Eddie Dry, VP of Domestic Sales for Strixon Cleveland Golf, at the PGA Merchandise Show earlier this year. And I said, Eddie, I like your CBX full face wedges. How can they help an average player like me play better? Here's what he had to say.
An average player, I use one, and I'm in some lies that you can't even believe. And I need all the help I can get, and the face is bigger, and the grooves go all the way up and all the way out to the toe. So if you hit it on the toe, you miss it, bam, there's a groove. So I like that. So I carry a 58.
There you have it, folks. Try the new CBX full-face wedges from Cleveland Golf. I also want to give a shout-out to my friends over at On Point Golf and their great On Point ball marker. Get the number one ball marker in the game of golf. On Point is the only three-dimensional ball marker out there. With alignment technology and a removable coin that is approved to use according to the rules of golf. As you know, putting is all about line and pace. Mark your ball with On Point, engage with your three-dimensional ball marker, and have more confidence in your line, execute the putt, and you're going to lower your scores. Do what the likes of Jim Furyk, PGA professionals, and amateurs alike are doing now. They use the number one ball marker in golf and they lower their scores. You know Ken Duke and Thongchai JD. They won for the first time on the PGA Tour in 2023 and they were using an On Point ball marker. Get yours at onpointgolf.us and make more putts. And oh, by the way, you can also customize the removable coin for any club, event, or corporate outing. They make really great tee gifts and custom products. That's also going to help lower your score. I use On Point ball markers Mine is black and gold, 3D black golf ball with a gold line down the middle to help me line up my putts. It's like having a 15th club in my bag. It's helped my game. Why wouldn't you let it help yours? Again, onpointgolf.us. See what I'm talking about. Order yours today. Now let's talk grips. I want to tell you about Lampkin grips. Every shot, as you know, has its own unique feel. The trick? Feel comfortable with each one. And comfort is built into the very DNA of Sonar Plus Black Grips. Composed of their Genesis material that provides supreme comfort and durability, with their fingerprint technology, creates a strong connection and unforgettable touch. The game changes from shot to shot. The feel on your hand shouldn't. Lampkin. Feel is everything. All right, now back and next on the tee with me is Greg Sabella. Greg is the Vice President of Marketing for Unicore. They make launch monitors, simulators, and related software. Prior to joining Unicore, Greg was the Director of Marketing and Golf Sales for Blast Motion. Going a little further back into his career, he was the VP of Marketing for Superstroke and the Director of Marketing for Callaway Golf. I'm very excited to get to have him back with me again this week here on Next on the Tee. Hey, Greg, thanks for coming back on the show.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So, Greg, for our listeners who haven't been with us the last couple of times you've been a part of this show, remind everybody about who Unicore is and the great things that you guys are doing.
Yeah, so you did a great intro. Unicore is a golf launch monitor and simulation company. And as you said, we make a suite of software that integrates with all of our launch monitors. We've been in the market in the U.S. since 2019, but we've been almost two decades globally. With our parent company, Creates and QED, selling and installing, 50,000 plus launch monitor bays across the world. So been here for a long time, just newer in the U.S. market.
And Greg, you guys, just a couple of days ago, actually, came out with the new iMini Lite launch monitor. Talk about that and all the functionality that that thing has.
Yeah, so we were really excited to bring that to market. We introduced it at the PGA show and started taking pre-orders. Our pre-orders all went out on the 30th or the 29th. And, so they're en route across the country right now. But the iMini Lite is our most accessible launch monitor, priced at $2,749. And with that, you get full software integration, third-party capabilities, fully integrated with all of our training products, like our cameras and our balance mat, all our training software, 18 club and data points, and just a powerhouse of a unit at a very accessible price point that you can use as a practice tool to just get data and get better, or as a full golf simulator when paired with a PC and software, and have, courses at your leisure to play whenever you want.
So some of that software is just out of this world good. When I was doing some research and looking up all of these things, you've got iEngine technology plus Dimple and Club Optics. Talk about what those things are.
Yeah, so Dimple Optics is our patented technology that reads ball spin and ball speed by identifying each individual dimple and then measuring those as they move through the frames. Club Optics is a very unique offering in terms of it's paired with our View software that comes with purchase of the launch monitor. And that actually gives you slow motion video of your club at impact, right before impact, at impact, and post impact, and then a crystal clear image of your ball on the face of the club. So wow. You can kind of put a reel to the feel and see exactly what happens when you miss one on the heel or the toe or when you hit one right in the center of the face.
That's amazing that you can capture the moment of impact. I haven't seen that anywhere else.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. I mean, you can see the ball compressing onto the face and you can literally read the logo on whatever ball you're using.
Wow.
As it's spinning through the frames. So it's a very like I said, unique technology and a unique way to display not only just hard data, but to put some visuals with that data.
You've also got something called G-Vision, which looks like another cool bit of technology. Talk about what that shows us.
Yeah, G-Vision was introduced at the PGA show. It's not yet out, but G-Vision takes all of our data and through a second projector projects it right onto the floor in real time. So you literally don't have to look up at a screen or a monitor. You can set up, hit your shot, and right at your feet, you will see selected club data with the club data points you want to see. And what's really cool is you actually see the ball coming through at impact right in front of you where it occurred. And you get that same video and still at impact with every shot you hit.
The game day software, I think, really puts what you guys are doing over the top. It sounds like if I'm getting all the information right, that I could actually create my own sort of TGL league if I had an iMini and game day software coupled together. Is that accurate?
Well, eventually we will have network play on game days. So yeah, I could literally send you a text and say, hey, Chris, do you want to play tonight? Send you a meeting or a tee time, a virtual tee time. You log on and I log on and we can play, you know, 18 holes at whatever course we want and compete against each other, chatting the whole time, talking trash. it's a lot of fun, depending, you know, and it doesn't matter where you are.
Wow. So, okay. So now you got me excited. When is that technology going to be out?
So we're adding courses, you know, kind of every single week we're adding new courses, and it takes us a little bit longer to create the courses because they're all shot in. Well, they're all created in 4K graphics, so the imagery is outstanding and unlike anything you've seen out there. The goal is to, it's out in beta right now, and the goal is to have it out for full launch, hopefully by the end of Q2, and then we'll continue to add courses and iterate on the software as we go.
So do you know about how many courses are going to be available at initial launch and then what you're looking to do long term?
Yeah, I think we'll launch with probably 20 to 25 courses. And, you know, I know we have up to 75 courses scanned. So those are being built into the software kind of daily, you know, as we speak. And like I said, it takes a long time. We literally shoot the video, the course, not only get the topography and all the elevation data, but somebody walks the course with a 360 camera. So they can get every single detail implemented into the software, you know, a leaf falling from a tree or a pebble rolling down the cart path. It's really ultra realistic and makes the whole experience very immersive.
So do I get the whole shebang? Do I, from tee shot to making putts, am I getting topography and everything all in that one piece of software?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. And if we're playing together, we both tee off. And we kind of play our own ball and we get back on the green and you can see what I'm doing and I can see what you're doing and virtual scoring. And there's a whole slew of innovation coming from our engineers, which is exciting.
Yes, it is. And I look and I see that I can have multiple numbers of profiles and sessions. So in other words, if I buy this and I buy the right software, not only can you and I play, but I'm guessing with multiple profiles, everybody can practice in the family that I have. My wife can go down there and play and practice in her own profile. So can my children. Is that right?
Yeah. So depending on the subscription package, you know, the entry level package comes with one profile. And then as you subscribe, you get more in each different level. And yeah, you can have up to, you know, 10 different profiles and then 100 sessions per profile, which means each time you start a new practice session, that data will be secluded. You can always delete the old ones and keep going, but it's really a nice way to either gap your entire bag or your wife or your friend's entire bag and have that data kind of separate from yours so you can continually analyze what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong.
So how are you guys taking all of that together? It seems like there's some component of AI being fit in here. What are you guys doing with AI technology?
Well, we have what's called AI Trainer that's also out in beta right now. So if you are a current user that has purchased our Swing Optics cameras, then you have access to AI Trainer in its beta form. And what AI Trainer does, Chris, is if you stepped up and took a swing, it breaks your swing into 8 pieces, individually analyzes each position, and then gives you a score based on those positions, highlighting where you need to improve and giving you a tip or a solution for how to fix the problem or work to fix the problem. So it's designed to be worked in unison with golf coaches. So I can identify what I'm doing wrong and kind of pre-inform my coach or if I don't have a coach, I can work to try to cure these things myself. But it's scary how quickly, if you know your problem and you take a swing, you know, I'd be willing to bet a lot of money that it's going to identify the known problem that you know you have and provide you with a solution to try to improve.
So let's take that a step further. How does it know? What is it comparing it to know where in my swing I'm making a mistake?
Yeah, great point. So we have a down the line camera and a face on camera. And then we have, you know, thousands of elite level swings in our database. So as you take your swing, it mines that data and finds where you should be in position one, for example. And if you're inside or outside, or you're in a good position, it'll highlight that area, tell you green check mark, you're good to go. Or, hey, it looks like you pulled the club too inside, so let's work on this drill to help fix that.
Wow.
So it's comparing all those different positions individually and putting together kind of a swing score. And then as you improve, you can see your score go up. So it's a very interactive and, you know, immersive experience with video.
Greg, it sounds like this is V1, but V1 to the next level. In other words, working with an instructor, instead of sending my video to an instructor using the V1 software and having the instructor come back to me with points, this almost seems like it takes that to the next level, because you're going to get all kinds of data points and all kinds of views that maybe you don't get on regular 2D video.
Yeah, you just nailed it, right? Video is 2D and it's very hard to see, you know, finite positions if the camera is positioned properly and if I'm actually taking it inside. This marries that 2D data with 3D data, and you have ball and club metrics to go with it. So you're really providing a full picture of your performance to your coach or to your instructor, and they can see, hey, when you do this, this is the outcome, which is next level for sure.
You talked earlier about potential of 18 data points. Give us a flavor. What kind of data points am I going to get on each swing?
So, you know, everything you need, to be honest. It's, you know, all of your ball data, ball speed, side spin, backspin, spin axis, launch angle, you know, performance on carry, total, run, descent angle, distance to apex, you know, you name it. And then we have a slew of club data that comes with that. Where we're unique in this area is we don't just provide one half of the equation. Those 18 data points are included in our software with every launch monitor we sell, from iMini Lite up to our iXO2 kind of all-in package. And with a small sticker on your club with iMini Lite, for example, you can get club head speed, that'll relate to smash factor, angle of attack, path, hit location will be predicted. There's tons of data that come with this, and, you know, really accurate data that's been tested against, you know, all of our products and all of our competitor products, to be honest, to make sure that we're where we need to be.
So you mentioned earlier that there are different packages and you can really get this into the hands of people for about $2,749. Talk about what do I get when I get the introductory package? And as I step up, how many more great things do I get?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, it really is now, you know, we've seen some really creative kind of DIY simulators. You know, looking at, we have what we call our iMini Lite Net package, which is the launch monitor, 5x5 hitting mat, and a nice big hitting net. If you pair that with a gaming PC, you can have full simulation for under, you know, $5,000 if you already have a PC. The one thing with iMini Lite is it does need a PC to do the processing of the data. But if you already have a gaming PC, you can literally plug this thing in, start hitting shots, and see your data right on your computer monitor, you know, let alone if you want to add a TV or a secondary monitor. There's a million ways to go. And what we're trying to do is make golf more accessible, simulator golf more accessible, by providing hardware solutions across the gamut. So, you know, if you want to build a full out custom solution, we have you covered. And if you want to get started into simulation, we have you covered there too. And nobody else can really say that in this competitive landscape.
Yeah, it sounds like if I get the iMini Lite, to your point, I get the mat, I get a net, I've already got a gaming PC, and I plug in a larger monitor. Maybe I already have a really nice monitor for my gaming. I'm ready to go, right? Out of the box. I set this up, and in a few minutes later, I'm playing.
Yeah, and you know, we provide a three-month trial, which is an extended period, a three-month trial of our Champions package, which comes with our gaming software that's out now called Refine Plus. And that has 22 courses, a short game complex, some games for target practice that you can get, you know, the family or beginners involved. That all comes with the unit. So as you said, if you have a computer and a monitor, it's very plug and play, and you get kind of real golf, real practice at a really easy and accessible price point.
Yeah, that gaming piece, you talk about target practice. From what I saw in the videos, it's essentially like I'm going to Topgolf, but it's on video.
Yeah, it's like a floating barge in our Refine software. It's fun. It's amazing how many people just stick on that game and try to hit shots to a barge floating in the water and score points.
That's fantastic.
You're getting better while you're doing it.
Yeah, right. That's awesome. Greg, just a couple more before I let you go. And I know prior to the PGA show, on a little different kind of topic, you guys added Bo Hostler to your brand ambassadors. You already had Cameron Champ and Lily He. Now you got Bo Hostler. Talk about the Unicor team.
Yeah, you know, we don't have a huge team, but we think we have a team of quality players and quality individuals. And Bo fit that mold completely. He's so vastly talented, and we were able to get an iMini into his hands early, and he put it through the ringer. And came back and said, you know, I love this data. I love how quick and instant it is. And, you know, we worked out a deal to bring him on board. So it's going to be an exciting time. We're going to do an upcoming video shoot with him real soon here. So, you know, working with tour players and their schedules is not easy. But Bo's having a really good year and has played his way into some elevated events and had some really good finishes. And we fully expect to see him in the winner's circle this year. Cameron and Lily, same thing. I mean, Cameron's a three-time winner, and Lily is a world beater in college and really a global player. And both are all of them are a pleasure to work with, and we couldn't be happier to have them on our team.
Without giving away too much, is there something you can sort of tempt us with or tease us with as we look ahead to the rest of 2024 for what you guys might be doing, or as we look ahead to the PGA Merchandise Show in January of 25, some things that you guys might be introducing along those lines?
Yeah, I would say this year, you know, continue to monitor the software side of the business. Because, you know, now that we have hardware that covers kind of the gamut, if you will, our goal now is to provide software that allows people to practice or play however they want to. Whether it's, I just want to play golf with my buddies on cool golf courses, or I want to build a full training studio in my basement or in my extra room or in my garage where I can see my swing, I can analyze it with AI, I can get, you know, every club and ball data point I need. We're really trying to pump up the software side of the business to make sure we hit kind of every target consumer out there, from the newcomer to the elite instructor who needs, you know, the kitchen sink to help their players get better.
Greg, before I let you go, remind our listeners, how can they stay up to date with all the great software and products that you guys are coming out with, whether it's on your website or it's on social media?
Yeah, our website is unicor.com. We keep that as updated as anything in our ecosystem, and all of our social channels are very active with any new product introductions. And you know, you can always reach out to our supporter sales team on our website if you want more detailed information or quotes on product. Our goal is to make sure we're easy to work with and responsive, and we got numerous ways to get a hold of us.
Well, Greg, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your day to come back and introduce us to the iMini Lite and all the great things that you guys are doing. It's fantastic stuff. The quality of what you guys do really rings true when you take a look at it on your website and you look through the videos and all of those sorts of things. Boy, it just pops out. And for the price point that you guys are doing it at, it is absolutely outstanding. I can't thank you enough for being here again this week.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Chris. We appreciate the support and look forward to next time.
Greg, take care, my friend. All the best in your family. We'll catch up soon.
All right, have a good one.
See you, Greg.
Bye-bye.
Folks, that again is Greg Sabella. Unikor is the company. UNEEKOR.com is how you spell Unikor and the site. Just fantastic stuff. Well, think about it, right? When you think about the iMini Lite launch monitor and the software, and again, plugging it right into your gaming PC and all you're going to be able to do with it. Look, if you're looking for a way to turn your basement into just the perfect practice facility, in the past, I mean, you're spending 20, 30 grand to put something like that together. And now you're going to be able to do it for probably less than five and put it into software for your gaming laptop and plug and play and away you go. Look, the Topgolf-like thing, like he talked about the target practice. That looks fun. It's a great thing. You have lots of profiles, have your family go down there and a great way to play golf together, if you will, down in your own basement without having to spend hours and hours away from the house, or just a great way to have an evening with the family. How great is that? And then to take your own game to a new level with 18 data points. And what puts it over the top for me is all the game day stuff. The idea that we're going to get to play with our friends around the world and one time right there on in your basement, in your den with this great software. This stuff is absolutely fantastic. This is taking gaming and our golf game and our practice sessions and all that to a level that is just unheard of for the price that we can do it at. I am absolutely excited about this stuff. I can't wait to take a look at it for myself and then get Greg back on the show and hear about all the great new things they're adding to this thing, all the great new courses, all the new software and that sort of thing. Hopefully we get that opportunity again a little bit later on in this year. All right, my friends, it is time for me to put a bow on part one of this week's episode. Again, my thanks to Bob Ford and Greg Sabella. And stay tuned. Coming up in part two, Michael Collins and Brian Jacobs will be joining me. As always, folks, I can't thank you enough for making Next on the Tee a part of your weekly golf content. Until next time, hit 'em straight, my friends.